Before we go to prayer this morning, hear the words of Psalm 121 and let it speak to your heart this morning. Let it speak to your heart. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I lift my eyes to the hills. It says in verse 1, where does my help come from? My help, your help, comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God, as we have sung this morning and recognized your holiness, recognized your provision, recognized who you are, and we hear and read these verses in this psalm, Lord, some of us just need to be reminded today, right now, that our help comes from you and you alone. There's no need to turn to anywhere else. There's no need to do anything else but trust in you. That when things are hard, when things are difficult, when things don't go our way, and when there's uncertainty all around us, God, we can trust that you are our help. And you're not going to let us slip. You're not going to let us fall. You're not going to allow us to not be watched over. Does that mean that life will be perfect? No. Does that mean that we won't mess up? Absolutely not. We will. And we know that. And we know that there are difficulties, but we know that you are our help. You are the one who watches over us. You are the one who holds us in your righteous right hand, and you will see us through. When things seem impossible, you make a way. When things are overwhelming, you see to it that we are taken care of. When we get concerned about difficulties in life, we know that you can be the source of trust and hope. When it comes to difficulties surround us, medical issues and all kinds of different things, God, you are our help. It's interesting, God, when we think about the sirens blaring that are right outside our doors. When the sirens blare in our lives, you're there in the midst of it because you are with us. God, I pray that we would understand and hear that you are with us. That's a powerful, powerful word for us today. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide and watch over us. Thank you for your faithfulness this week and this day. And we pray all these things. And if you agree in this, let's say amen together. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here today. Glad that you have chosen this day to come to the house of the Lord when you could have easily just wanted to stay in bed and had a couple extra hours of sleep. You already got a bonus. And so I'm going to count on no yawns today. I'm going to count on I'm going to count on you just being alert and vibrant and ready for the day ahead. And I'm glad to hear that you are doing so well. I tell you what, it's good to be in the house of the Lord and to worship along with you. It's one of my joys to be able to just stand in the front row over here and just listen to you all worship. And it is good. It is really good. So thank you for engaging. Thank you for worshiping God. That's why we're here. We don't come here to listen to ourselves sing. We come to worship him because he matters the most. Amen. That was semi-weak this morning. We'll try again later. Things that you need to be aware of. We have a QR code that we'd love for you to utilize today. Helps us to know that you're here. Helps us to also know that if there are things that you want to be prayed over and haven't sent to the prayer chain, this is a great way to do it. And as always, if you have things that you want to be prayed over, you can always contact me at any point in time. This week is a Hope Kids and Youth Group and Grab and Go Meals Week. So parents of youth, teens, and Hope Kids, you are encouraged to be here at 6 o'clock for a meal that we will provide, and you just get to enjoy and eat, and it's a good time to hang out with everybody. And then Hope Kids starts that evening at 6:30, and our youth ministry starts at 6:30 as well. And that's awesome, and we hope that you will be able to be there. So parents, moms, and dads, make sure that your kids of all ages are here for that. The last thing I want to talk about before we kind of jump into some of our other things is I want to just say thank you for a couple of things. We had a couple of volunteer opportunities this week. One of them was at Nixon Elementary on Tuesday night, and we put a picture out on Facebook, and there you can see all the various people were there, but we doubled the opportunity to give out candy that night because we took all their slots because I knew that you were just going to show up, and so it was awesome that we were able to be there and hand out candy to the kids and just ooh and ah over them and their families. And so thank you, moms and dads and kids and everybody everybody who just was there, and it was fun, and I hope that we will be able to do that again in the near future. And then yesterday, we had a church cleanup day, and we had a ton of things marked off our list of things to do and items to cross off, and so thank you so very much for those that were able to be here and just lend a hand to helping keep our church amazing. So thank you so much, and I will clap for you all as well. There are opportunities to serve, and if you are looking for ways to do that, let me know, and we will gladly connect you with some of those things. Just a reminder, parents, today kids are with us in the sanctuary today, so if you need activity bags, they're in the back of the sanctuary. You can utilize those, but we're going to be starting a brand new sermon series today. So with that, let's talk about burn the ships. Just moving a little bit, John, don't worry about it. I'm coming right back to center stage in just a little bit. But I brought a bag with me because I have some things that I want to talk to you about. And I'm going to grab a chair too, because then I don't have to bend over and throw out my back. No. Today we're talking about things that we want to, or things that we need to let go of. And to be quite honest, you and me are not always good at letting go of things. And here's how I know that. Because there are things in our lives that we hold on to that we should probably eventually let go of. One of the things that we probably hold on to a little bit too much is those socks that don't have a mate. Not cool. Other things that we hold on to for a little bit too long are Tupperware lids. The containers are gone. They're in the landfill, but you hold on to the lids because maybe it'll show up. Old t-shirts. Seriously, if you got holes in your shirt that's everywhere and it's stretched out and it doesn't fit anymore, get rid of it. Ladies, what's with the buttons? Why do you hold on to buttons? I'm just messing, just having fun with you. Let's see. Other things that we hold on to too much. You can't see it, but bread ties. These are just a couple of them, but why do we hold on to bread ties? These are from our own house. I never use them. I mean, I use them when I tie up the bread, my favorite bread, but then I put them in this container like I'm going to use it someday. Why do we do that? Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Chargers, charging cables. Why do we hold on to charging cables? If the charger doesn't work any longer for that particular item, get rid of it. This is a bat that I don't even know how many is in here, but you know what's great is when one comes out, the whole thing is empty. And then you have 17 chargers sitting there and you're like, I'm not going to use these, but let's roll them up and put them back in the bag. Not cool. That's where a twist tie would come in handy. Whoever said that, I don't. But then you got to have the bag just in case the twist tie comes undone, right? And to go along with that same thing, we'll just throw that down there. Old tech. Okay, this phone is cracked and everything, but I can't get rid of it. It has to go back in the bedside table. An old tablet that can't be charged anymore, it's dead. Why do I have it? Why do you have it? It's not just me. Those of us that wear glasses. What am I going to do with three different pairs of glasses that have been replaced for a purpose? You know why they've been replaced? Because I can't see anymore with those particular glasses. It's not just that the style has changed. The thing has changed. The prescription has changed. Why do I hold on to them? I know why. I think I do. And you do as well. Because you think, just in case I break those glasses or I lose them, I'm going to go back to this case and I'm going to put those old glasses on. Guess what? I don't. Do you? No, you don't. Okay, this one is really important. Okay? All right. Old medals. Okay? Now, this one is particularly special. I got this before I turned 40 because I ran a half marathon. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, does that mean that I should hold on to this thing?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I knew that was going to happen. I should have planned that out a little bit more. Now, when I'm 70, do I need this anymore? Yes. No, I don't. You guys are killing me. Straight killing me. Okay. I got this when I was 17, 18 years old. It was a outstanding tennis player of the year. I tell you what. That was many, many years ago. Why do I still have this? And you might be asking yourself the same thing. Why does he still have that? And it's because it means a lot to me. That's why. Now, guys, you're not off the hook. You have in your possession, in your garage probably, a mason jar or a coffee can full of old bolts. Old nuts and bolts and all kinds of things. You're not gonna use them? You haven't used them in 30 years. Why do you hold on to it? No, you won't. No, you won't. Okay. All right. Okay, hold on. Hold on. I'm almost done with this part of the message, okay? So, VHS tapes. Yeah. Hold on. If you actually have a VCR player that actually works and you can utilize this, then good on you. Good on you. But the rest of you who don't have a VCR, or you have a VCR and it doesn't work, or the tapes are completely destroyed because you have tried to work them and they're not working anymore, why do you have it? We haven't had a VCR player since 2005, maybe. Why do I have it? Now, I'm not getting rid of this one because this is the 1991 World Series between the Minnesota Twins and the Atlanta Braves. The best World Series in all of Major League Baseball history. And I will hold on to this one forever because the Twins won and they beat those Braves. Now, hold on. Now, you need to understand that this was the only time that two last place teams actually got to first place the next year and went to the World Series. The Twins were in last place the year before, and that's how bad they were the year before. But they won the World Series nonetheless, so that's never going away.
Can we borrow it?
No. Okay, last one. Okay, young people, you might not know what this is. This is a Letterman's jacket from my high school, and it still fits. Okay, all right. Now, hold on. Thank you. Thank you. When you were moderately okay at a sport or at in academics or in choir or something like that, you could get a letter. Now, they still do those letters and things like that, but nowadays they don't do Letterman's jackets a whole lot, but I had one, as you can tell. Now, the first thing, the first thing that my dad said when I got this Letterman's jacket was this: do not, don't you dare let any girl wear that Letterman's jacket. And guess who's a rule keeper? That's me. Never did let anybody else wear this Letterman's jacket. I think I'm going to preach with it on. No, it's way too hot. It's way too hot. Now, I realize that this is just kind of fun, and it's kind of good to look at different things like this in our lives, and I realize that many of the things that I mentioned here are things that can be used. You hold on to things for a reason and for a purpose. We hold on to bread ties because we can use that for a reason and a purpose. And many of us are resourceful, and we utilize things that we have, and we put them to use and all of that. But for the rest of us that aren't going to repurpose these things, why? Why do we hold on to them? And our response usually is, you just never know. You just never know. There are things that we just don't want to let go of. There's things that we just don't want to let go of. And in our spiritual lives, it's much the same. There are things in our past that we don't want to let go of because it'd be easy to return to that. I've shared this story before, but it's worthy of being shared again, and it kind of helps with the point of what we're talking about in this short series. But the story goes that in 1519, Hernan Cortez took a small army to the shores of Veracruz to take special treasure from the Aztec Empire. This treasure had been defended for over 600 years despite various attempts from much larger and well-equipped armies. Prior to landing at shore, Cortez explained to his men how their lives would change after a successful mission. He framed the treasure in a lens that was much larger than any one person or group of people. When the boats arrived at the shore and as the men stood ready to fight for the treasure, Cortez made an unexpected move. He had his men turn back to look at the boats anchored just offshore, and then he uttered three simple words that would change the course of history. And those words were, "Burn the ships." Following these words, Cortez explained that the men were either going to take the treasure and return home in the Aztecs' boats, or they were going to die. He backed his men into a proverbial corner and turned inspiration to desperation. In time, Cortez and his men not only took the treasure, but they also conquered the entire Aztec Empire. Now, with a story such as this, we can debate a few different things. We could debate just the ways in which we can understand this story, and people disagree on this happened and that happened and all of that. But for the point of the story and what we can gather about it is that for Cortez, as far as he is concerned, there was no plan B. Let me say that again. As far as Cortez was concerned, there was no plan B, which this flies in the face of typical leadership practices. Most leaders have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, all the way to Z if you want to, but Cortez had no plan B. It was either win the war and conquer or die trying. The question that I have for you today and the question that I want you to wrestle with today is this. Do you want to be plan B people or burn the ships? Because when we're talking about burning the ships, what we are talking about is getting rid of the option to return to our past, to stop holding on to the things that are old, our past, and returning to them, or to live in what we have now, and that is the new life we have in Christ. Cortez took the option of returning to the ships and going home off the table. No other options. And we, you and me, when we've made the decision to follow Jesus, there are things that we did. There are things that we're not happy about. There are things that we're not proud of. There are things that actually, when we think about the way that we behaved and acted before we met Jesus, we're ashamed of. And we should never want to return to those things. But for some reason, the things that we used to do, the ways in which we used to live, is kind of like these examples here. We hold on to them because we're not sure if they will be useful sometime. We hold on to them because they're a bit comfortable. And we keep them around because you never know when you will need that color of white paint again, that it's completely separated and chunky, but you're going to do your best to stir it up and use it again. I did that about 2 weeks ago. It doesn't work. It doesn't. Let it go. Let it go. But for some reason we hang on to anger. We hang on to bitterness. We hang on to grudges. We hang on to things in our lives. Maybe it's the abuse of alcohol. Maybe it's foul language. Maybe it's something as simple as comparisons to make yourself look better. Maybe it's something else. But we hold on to these things and we want to return back to them. And the only thing I can say is we need to let it go. When it comes to our spiritual lives, there are things that we should just completely let go of. They are no longer needed. They are no longer welcome. Things that distract us from living in the life that Jesus desires for us is what we should be striving to do. To be honest, when we accepted Jesus, there was a death and a resurrection in our lives. The death of the old self and the resurrection of the new self. And I want to talk today about living in the new. Apostle Paul says some things about that that we need to recognize in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. Put off, be made new, put on the new self. That's an important message for us this morning. But Paul's not done yet. Let's look at this in verses 25 through 28. Therefore, this is where it gets serious, because everything that Paul said beforehand is about to be unpacked in a way that will make a lot of sense to us. So therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Speak truthfully. That's a novel idea. For we all are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, and they must have something to share with those in need. While Paul is correcting and teaching the Ephesians, he also gives them a little bit of practical insight in what they should do. If you're a thief, well, stop stealing and do something useful instead. Get to work. Do something with your hands. Put them to work. Do something useful. Now, that can apply in a lot of different scenarios. Instead of being greedy, put your hands to work. Do the work. Paul's not done just with that passage yet. In another passage of Scripture, Paul is a little bit more stern, a little bit more direct, and maybe you remember this from this summer when we spent some time with Colossians chapter 3. In this verse, he says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Quick, how do you feel about Paul saying, put to death? Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Because when we think about that in our own context, we don't think about death a whole lot. We don't like death. We don't want to put anything to death. We have a hard time cutting down trees because we're cutting that tree down and it's perfectly good. Why are we taking it down? Okay, we also know that this just in the last couple of days, there was a squirrel and a raccoon that were owned by a person in New York, and that squirrel and raccoon were taken from that person's home and euthanized. And people are in uproar over it. It's a squirrel and a raccoon. But we don't like that type of thing. And Paul is saying, put to death. And I'm not joking. It's a real story about the squirrel and the raccoon, okay? It's a real story. But the idea is put to death. To be quite honest, I have no problem with Paul telling me and people in Scripture, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, put it to death. Put it to death. Get rid of it. And to be quite honest, it seems that Paul is using it with the proper amount of force to instruct us with the importance of letting things go. The things of our past that are no longer worthy of being a part of who we are, let them die. And the reason is so that we can live in Christ. If you keep going back to that same well of bitterness, anger, alcohol abuse, that's not letting it go. That's not letting it die in your life. Even thinking about it and reflecting on it is not letting it die. It's still alive if that consumes your thoughts for a period of time. If you are unable to tell your story about God's deliverance, then maybe that thing still has a foothold. Maybe. Can't say it for sure, but if we're unable to communicate what God has done and the deliverance that he has worked out in our lives, there's a possibility that that still has a little bit of power and authority in us. And we might need to spend a little bit of time really letting Jesus put that to death in our lives. Because the goal in all of this is so that we can live in Christ. And I know it's tempting. It's tempting to let some things live because that's how it used to be. That's how it once was. And so therefore it's easy, it's comfortable, and we know it all too well. Let me ask you a question. What part of your old life are you most tempted to return to? Personally, for me, one of the things that I probably return to is the temptation to make myself look better. To look accomplished or to be better than what I really am, to maybe stretch, it's a lie, but stretch the truth on how I really did in certain things in certain ways. I could do that very easily. I have the ability to think quickly on my feet, and I could tell you, oh yeah, when I ran that half marathon, I was the fastest person in that entire thing. Oh yeah, you should have seen it. It was fantastic. It was great. The truth was that I was far from the front of the row, front of the pack, and I was gasping for air at the end. But I can make myself look better. I can do that very easily. And if I don't keep myself in check, I can make myself look like I'm the most fantastic runner of all time. I got the medals to prove it. Just kidding. I only got one, two. But the idea is, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to return to that. And for you, maybe your thing that you can easily return to is anger. And you don't want to return to that, but it happens. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If I don't take the time to put those things on, to be holy, to clothe myself with compassion, kindness, humility, that is not thinking about myself so much, some gentleness and some patience, man, I can easily resurrect those things that should be dead, and they can live out in my life. And maybe you recognize that that could happen in your life as well. But the truth of the matter is we need to let what is dead be dead and not resurrect those things. When I return to the parts of my old life or I find myself wanting to go back, man, I got to clothe myself with those things. Put them on. And victory over these things usually comes down to one single word, and that's surrender. Say it with me, surrender. Surrender means that somebody else is in charge. When we wave the white flag of surrender up in the air, we're giving up ourselves for the work of someone else. And when we surrender to Jesus, we are saying that he is in charge and not me. And I think that we need to take a step of surrender in multiple areas of our lives. Multiple areas of our lives. And it's not an easy thing. It's not a walk in the park. It's not a natural thing that we have in our lives. And there's many factors that go into this. Some of it is how we grew up, how we live now, our makeup, our personalities. There's all kinds of different things that shape us to be the people that we are. But we need to remember that explains us, but it doesn't excuse us to keep living that way. And something that is true is that we, you and me, are in good company. Every believer, every follower, every Christian that has said yes to Jesus has had to deal with these same issues. And what we need to do is build each other up, hold each other so that we can surrender effectively. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a familiar verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Submit. That is surrender language right there. And folks, that's an area that we have got to be willing to really step into, where we submit to God and we say, God, you're in charge of my decisions. God, you're in charge of the things that I want to do in my life, and I'm going to submit myself to your way. I'm going to submit to your, I'm going to submit to you in the way that I converse with my friends. I'm going to submit to you with the type of language that I use. I'm going to surrender my plans for my future, for what you want to do in my life. And that is a step that we can make every single day of our lives, no matter what place we are in life. You're retired, surrender your ways to God. You're in the midst of your most effective years of work. Submit every day to what God wants to do in your life. You're a high school student or middle school, elementary, submit to God. Surrender yourself to what He wants to do in your life. Surrender your decisions so that you know that you are following Him in so many ways, but you have to take yourself out of the equation. How many times have we leaned on our own understanding instead of His? When you lean on something, what are you doing? Like when you're standing in the hallway back there and you lean up against a table or you lean up against the wall, what you're doing is you're allowing something else to support you. Your kid leans up against you when they're laying on your lap or something like that. They're leaning on you. You feel the full force of their weight and all the heat that comes from their body. And man, sometimes that's uncomfortable. But you're leaning on, they're getting support from you, and the wall is giving you support. I do it all the time. I love to lean up against a wall. Then I don't feel like I'm standing on my own, and it's so much more easy, right? When we submit or when we are leaning on our own strength, we're looking here. We're looking at this that is imperfect. And we think that we have the wisdom. We think that we have the authority. We think that we have the power to make these huge decisions or to do what we want to. And where does that often lead? To trouble. Let's lean on Him. Lean on Him. I'm going to close with a couple more passages of scripture. Mark 10, 17 through 22 says this: as Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. He said, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, and you shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, this passage of scripture can be a sermon in and of itself. But what I want you to catch in all of this, and I want you to hear it, I want you to understand it, is that this man, he knew it. He knew what to do. He knew what the commandments were, and he followed them day after day after day, and he lived it out. But when it came to surrender, he was unwilling. And Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him just like He loves you and me. But he was unwilling to surrender. Now we could debate, what is the eternal destiny of this man? That's not our responsibility. What is our responsibility is to learn from it and probably take Jesus' words of get rid of the things that are holding you back and follow Him. Surrender. As long as we are in charge, as long as we point the direction, as long as we think we're the GPS that takes us where we want to go, we will always have a ship that we can return to and get back on and return to our old life. And my invitation for you today is this: to put it all on the table. Put all the things that you recognize are the old ways of life, put them all on the table and ask yourself, do those things stack up to the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus? And if they do not stack up, then you have a decision to make. Surrender or not. Surrender your old life to the flames. Or keep that boat afloat and return to it whenever you want. That's a decision that you have to make. Personally, I don't want that. I don't want those old things. I don't want bitterness. I don't want greed. I don't want to hold myself better in comparison to make myself look good. I don't want the burden of all the junk that Paul's laid out for us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:23, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Not everything that we want to hold on to is beneficial. It's not good for the long term. It's not good for anything. Maybe we need to let them die. So your invitation is today, before you lay your head down to sleep, make a decision. Will I burn the ships or will I keep them afloat? Father, we are grateful for opportunities to hear your word spoken to us. We're grateful that you love us the way that you do, and we're grateful that when we can hear your word spoken to us and we can hear the words of Scripture that are pretty self-explanatory, we can actually have a little bit of an understanding of what it means to walk differently, to live our lives to glorify you and not be burdened by our past. And Lord, that's not just a slogan. It's not just a thing that we should slightly hold on to, but it really, truly is something that we should apply to our lives and recognize that those old things need to go away. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. Speak to the young and to the old. Speak to those that have big decisions that are on the horizon. Maybe it's in the future. Maybe it's only a few months away from now. Maybe it's a long time away. But God, will you help them to realize that there are things that are more important than our own fun, our own desires, our own plans, but you and your way is better. God, will you help us with that? Will you help parents in the room that are making difficult decisions, helping their kids make difficult decisions, to guide them so that they can see the things that matter most and not desires? God, for others, Lord, will you help us to recognize that that thing that we often return to is not pleasing to you? Those momentary lapses of anger, of bitterness, of rage, abuses of all kinds are not what you want. And you want to put those to death. Help us with that, God. God, you and you alone are worthy. Help us. to live in that way. And I pray that we might be willing to burn the ships. Lord, we love you. We give you praise. And we worship you with our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. Grateful to be along with you and to worship with you. As we close out our time together, let's stand and we'll worship one last time together.